I want you to just release, say, Lord Jesus. We want to give you the praise.
We want to give you the praise.
And we want to declare.
And we want to declare.
We have eyes that see.
We have eyes that see.
We have ears that really hear.
We have ears that really hear.
And my heart is perceiving.
And my heart is perceiving.
That you're on my case.
That you're on my case.
Amen.
Amen.
So I'm going to take you to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It's a place where you've been before, but I have been on a quest from the Lord to awaken something that I pray will go in deeper today. That's what I'm looking for. The scripture that I believe may be the focus for this entire message is verse 16 in chapter 5. He says in the Amplified, be happy in your faith. Be happy in your faith. Rejoice and be glad-hearted. Continually, always. Now that tells you that that's Deborah. Mm-hmm. She didn't let the enemy steal. Mm-hmm. Correct?
That's correct.
So again, be happy in your faith. Rejoice and be glad-hearted. Continually, not part-time, always. Be unceasing in prayer. Praying perseveringly. Yeah. Praying perseveringly. In other words, you don't quit just because you said one prayer and expect a response. You need to be sometimes reminding yourself of what you've asked for or what you're declaring. You say, well, I don't know how to pray. Well, watch. Verse 18. Thank God in everything.
Amen.
No matter what the circumstances may be. Clearly, no matter what the circumstances may be. Then the next rule, it doesn't say, you know, get a happy feeling or be thankful because things are going well. It says, be thankful and give thanks. Be thankful and give thanks. For this is the will of God for you, who are in Christ Jesus, the revealer and the mediator of that will. Wow. Clearly, be happy in your faith, rejoice and be glad-hearted continually, always. Be unceasing in prayer, praying perseveringly, thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstances may be. Be thankful and give thanks, for this is the will of God for you, who are in Christ Jesus, the revealer and the mediator of that will. It's the will and the testament of our God for us to give thanks in everything. And I've shared with you many times that I've had to live this out in circumstances that I didn't enjoy or painful, soulish responses that I was accustomed to because my soul was just as well able to control as anyone else here. My soul was in full control because I didn't know any better. I had not submitted to my spirit. First of all, I didn't even know I had a spirit. Okay? There's another big mistake. Verse 23. And may the God of peace himself sanctify you through and through. That is, separate you from the profane things and make you pure, wholly consecrated to God. And may your spirit, your soul and your body be preserved sound and complete, and found blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Verse 23 completely shattered my religious belief system. It blew it right out of the water. Because you see, St. Paul is saying so clearly here, your spirit should be in authority, not your soul. Adam and Eve made a mistake. They listened to their soul. And they bit into something that they never conceived to the fullness of what they had done. That is something that is so, so very important. And the Holy Spirit this week brought me back to prison to praise. So I said, okay, Lord, I haven't read this for a long time. And the Lord said, yeah, it's due. You got to go back, refresh. Okay? So I can't tell you how many millions of these that have been sold, but I'm going to share with you a couple of things that I believe may be helpful out of this book. And this is page 96. It's Marilyn Carruthers. And what I'm going to ask you to do is just kind of close your eyes right now. Whenever or wherever I went, I now shared that I had discovered about the power of praise. I was beginning to learn that praise was not just a form of worship or prayer, but also a way of waging spiritual warfare. Listen carefully. When you're praising God for what's going on in your life, whether liking it or not, you are waging spiritual warfare. Often when someone began to praise God for the problem that faced him or her, he found that Satan increased his attack. And the situation appeared to become worse instead of better. Many who tried the way of praise became discouraged and were unable to hold on to their belief that God was in charge. So others simply didn't understand and refused to try praising God for unpleasant things. It just doesn't make sense, they say. I'm not going to praise God for something I just don't believe he has anything to do with it. How can God have anything to do with my broken arm or my wrecked car or my husband and his horrible temper? I'd be foolish to thank him for something like that. Of course, it doesn't make sense. The question is, does it work? It didn't make much sense when Jesus said, leap for joy when you are hungry or poor or persecuted. Try it on for size. Say, I'm going to leap for joy.
I'm going to leap for joy.
When I'm hungry.
When I'm hungry.
Or poor.
Or poor.
Or persecuted.
Or persecuted.
You say, well, where does that come from? It comes from Nehemiah 8. Verse 10. Yet he very definitely told us to do just that. In Nehemiah 8:10, I read, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Woohoo!
Amen.
Yeah. The enemy's arrows just can't penetrate the joy of someone who is praising the Lord. In 2 Chronicles 20, we read how the whole army was defeated when the Israelites simply praised the Lord and believed him when he said that the battle wasn't theirs but his. Did you hear that? The battle was not belonging to the Israelites. It was the Lord's battle. The message is just as clear today. The battle isn't yours or ours. It is God. While we praise him, he sends out our enemies scurrying. Did you hear that? When I'm praising God, try it on.
When I'm praising God.
While I give him praise and thanks.
While I give him praise and thanks.
He sends our enemies scurrying. That's warfare, isn't it?
Yes.
All right. It was discouraging and sad to see those who refused to praise the Lord. My heart ached for them in their hopeless situation of suffering and misery. I asked God to give me wisdom to understand why they couldn't accept the way of praise, and also ask him to teach me better ways of leading others to praise him. Nearly 7 months after I first had the experience of laughing with joy in the Spirit, I went to a camp farthest out retreat. I was looking forward to a time of resting and rejoicing in fellowship of other brothers and sisters in Christ. While I sat in the back of the auditorium during the healing service, I closed my eyes, and on the screen of my inner vision, God painted a picture. Here's the picture. I saw a beautiful, bright summer day. The air was filled with light, and I had a sense of everything being very beautiful. Up above was a heavy, solid black cloud beyond which nothing could be seen. A ladder extended from the ground up into the black cloud. At the base of the ladder were hundreds of people trying to get a chance at climbing the ladder. They had heard that above the blackness there was something more beautiful than anything a human eye had ever seen. Something that brought unbelievable joy to those who reached it. As person after person tried to ascend, they quickly climbed to the lower edge of the cloud. The crowd watched to see what would happen. In short, while the person would come widely sliding down the ladder and fall into the crowd, scattering people in all directions. They reported that once they got into the darkness, they lost all sense of direction. My time finally came, and as I made my way up the ladder into the blackness, it grew so intense that I could feel its power nearly forcing me to give up and slide back. But step by step, I continued upward until suddenly my eyes beheld the most intense brightness I had ever seen. It was a brilliant whiteness, so glorious to describe in words. As I came out above the dark cloud, I realized that I could walk on top of it. As I looked into the brightness, I was able to walk without difficulty. When I looked down to examine the nature of the cloud, I immediately began to sink. Only by looking at the brightness could I stay on top. Then the scene changed, and I went back looking at all three levels from a distance. "What does this all mean?" I asked. And the answer came. The brightest sunshine below, the cloud, is the light that many Christians live in and accept as normal. The ladder is the ladder of praising me. Say the ladder.
The ladder.
Is the ladder of praising God.
Is the ladder of praising God.
Take a deep breath and let that go. Many try to climb and learn to praise me in all things. At first, they are very eager. But when they get into the things that they don't understand, they become confused and cannot hold on. They lose faith and go sliding back. As they fall, they injure other people who have been hoping to find a way to live a continual joy and praise. Those who make it through the difficult time reach a new world and realize that the life they once thought of as normal cannot be compared to the life I have prepared for those who praise me and believe that I carefully watch over them. He who reaches the light of the heavenly kingdom can walk on top of difficulties, no matter how hard or dark that they may seem, as long as he keeps his eyes off the problem and on my victory in Christ. No matter how difficult it may seem to trust me to work in every detail of your life, keep clinging to the ladder and of praise and move upward. I was half dazed by the vision and the explanation. I wondered how soon God would let me share it with someone. At the camp, I met a woman who was faced with a problem of illness and family difficulties at home. She found it hard to believe that praising God was going to do any good. Inwardly, I asked for guidance, and God said, "Tell her." So I told her, "You'll be the first one to hear this," I said, and as she listened, I could see how heaviness literally left, and her face and eyes lit up with a look of joyous expectation. In Ephesians chapter 1 and 2, I found my vision described in slightly different words by Paul. Blessed, praised, be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, in Christ. He has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame, to the praise of the glory of his grace, that in the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, that you may know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us word who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ is raised above all the powers of darkness, and according to God's word, our rightful inheritance is right there above the darkness together in Christ. The latter is praise. Take a deep breath. Let it go. Many years ago, because of a lack of knowledge, I landed in a hospital, and my leg was three times the normal size. And after two surgeries and being drugged half to death, trying to survive the pain, I kept praising God, not understanding what had happened, not understanding what was going on in my body, And why was this happening to me? And one night, about 3 o'clock in the morning, the Lord said, open your Bible and look in the inner leaf. So in the inner leaf, I had a yellow piece of paper. The paper was from the latter part of June, and it was a prophetic message that had been given to me by 3 ladies at a prayer meeting that we had at the chapel. It was written down for me, and it was describing where I was and what I was doing to the T. And in that message that the Holy Spirit had downloaded to me, I had no clue what it really meant. And if you say, well, do you still have the paper? Yes, I do. I wouldn't give that paper for anybody because, you see, it reminded me that God had given me a prophetic message in June. And here I was at the end of September actually living out what was spoken over me. The details are not important. What I learned was that I was giving thanks to God for the problem. I was now in a place of learning that He had an intention that I didn't understand. I believe 1 or 2 nights more go by, still getting pain medication because of the intense work that was done on my leg. And the Holy Spirit woke me up, and I'm half groggy. And I said, Lord, I don't know what you want. And He said, just pray in the Spirit. So I did. I began to praise and thank the Lord. And all of a sudden, I heard these words, will you forgive your sister? And I said, Lord, I have loads of sisters. Which one? He said, just forgive your sister. That's sufficient for now. So I purposed in my heart, Lord Jesus, whichever sister it is, and I had a couple of them in my mind. One was 17 when I was born, and the other one was 14, and those are the two that I've got pictures of in my head, even with the drugs. So I said, Lord, I'm just going to choose to forgive them in the name of Jesus, whatever, however, whichever things that happened when I was a baby, I don't know, but I'm just setting them free. And I'm going to thank you for the way they are. Now you got to remember, this is the end of September. I didn't really concentrate on it. It just was an awareness. A couple of other things came up during that time in the hospital. Because the Lord had His surgery, not on my leg, He was working on my soul. See, He was healing some of the things that happened to me. And at one point, I had a dream. And I can still remember the dream. And my favorite toy as I was very young was a teddy bear. It was light beige. And I saw the teddy bear. And I saw one of its legs had been ripped. And it was filled like with, not sawdust, but like very fine wood chip. Very, very fine. It was almost like wool made out of wood. So Mom and Juliet came to visit me the following day. The dream came in the middle of the night, and I had written it down. But the most outstanding part was that my toy, my teddy bear, was ripped. So the first thing I asked my mom, well, of course, she asked how I was doing, and blah, blah, blah. And of course, then I said, Mom, did I have a teddy bear when I was a baby? And she says, oh, yes. I said, what color was it? So she describes a teddy bear. I said, well, I saw it in a dream, and I saw the leg hanging, and there was like wood stuff that was inside this teddy bear that it was stuffed with. Oh, she said, I can't tell you how many times I had to sew that thing back up, you know, because it was always ripped open. And I literally felt, you know, something going on. And I don't know if I was crying on the outside, but I sure felt like I was. Crying on the inside. Didn't understand. And then it was like, you know, maybe one of my sisters ripped my favorite toy. It's just a thought, right? Will you forgive? So I forgave. Fast forward, my birthday is November. I told you I had lots of sisters. One that lives in Montreal, who I talked to, that was her birthday this past week. And she always sends me a birthday card because she was brought up outside the house and so was I. So we have that in common. That might help you, Sven. So the next level comes. Here's my birthday. And the older sister, the 17-year-old, is on the phone wishing me a happy birthday for the first time in my life. Okay? I had never heard from her. I never got a call. She did not come to my wedding. She was not part of my life, except when I was very young, the first 9 months. And I had never had a birthday card or any acknowledgement that I was alive until that particular birthday when all this was taking place. And she wished me a happy birthday. And I said, thank you, and I want you to know that I love you, and I have forgiven you for whatever happened between us. And I think I kind of caught her off guard. I don't remember the details of the conversation, but she says, you need to come and visit me. So I'll leave the rest open. What I'm trying to tell you is the power of praise. The power of giving thanks for what you don't understand. It's not somebody else's story. It's what I lived. By choosing to release forgiveness to those that you don't know hurt you, even before you were born. Oh, my God. I just hit a brick wall there. Just close your eyes right now. Say, Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus.
I can be hurt. Even inside the womb.
Even inside the womb.
And tonight. I'm choosing to forgive.
The rejection.
And the pain of that rejection. And that includes you, John. That includes you. Okay? Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I'm choosing to forgive.